test out things quickly with users. You'll see take up on some areas, not on other areas. Drop those features, work on the ones that stay, do closed betas. Yeah, the process is super important. And I can't tell any company how to do outbound or inbound or their mix. Like, I'm like, I don't know. You need to test it. And what I think is correct, my assumptions might be completely wrong. Because you know, with us, the way we thought we get customers is not how we get customers.
This is another episode of the Automate and Grow podcast. My guest today is Matt Barnett from Bonjoro, the founder of a really interesting one-to-one video messaging platform. Matt, thanks for taking the time to speak with me today.
No problem. Great to be here.
And we've already covered off your name's not Mark because I probably butchered it three times before we got on.
It's the accent. It's the accent throwing you.
Yeah, I'm saying Matt, but it's my Canadian accent that's throwing it off.
That's it. Exactly. So
Matt, you founded Bonjoro 3 years ago, and who's the typical user of Bonjoro, and what was the problem that you were trying to solve?
Yeah, so we tend to base our users more on what I guess problem they're solving in their company. So we have everything from gyms to universities to SaaS companies to doctors. But essentially, we are a video service that we tell users the right time to send personalized videos to customers to essentially convert leads at the top of the funnel to then activate customers. So once customers come in that first 3 months, get them activated onto the product or the service or the company, and then to drive customers to leave reviews and help grow the company. So our customers are using us for one of those stages, but the actual customer base is pretty wide in terms of industry.
Okay. So I guess to level set, the way it works is you integrate with various, whether it's CRM or messaging or commerce platforms, and you're trying to use triggers to prompt someone inside the company, maybe an SDR or a BDR type person, to say, hey, now would be a good time to send a video. Is that kind of a good description?
Yeah, that's it. The whole reason this happened maybe is we run an agency and we're based in Australia, and all of our clients were in London and New York, and we would have leads coming in and we'd all be asleep.
Oh, like, right.
Yeah, Australia's great, but it's not great for time zones.
Yeah.
So there's another world. So like doing like the drip stuff, honestly, it worked, you know, like 6 years ago, 5 years, and then started to drop off. And so what we started doing is we started putting videos in as our first kind of piece of comms with a new client. So we'd have James from Ogilvy in London would sign up, and it would be I'd do a video the next morning. I used to take a boat to work across the harbor. So I'd be going past the Opera House in Sydney on video saying, hey, James, saw you stand up. You know, we're based in Australia, but as you can tell, I'm English. You know, we've already worked with Budweiser and Procter & Gamble, et cetera. I'll be in London in 6 weeks. We'd love to come in and, you know, pitch you and the guys and tell you what we do. And so the first thing they would get off the company would be this video of this weird guy, wind in his face, couldn't really hear what he was saying. But without a doubt, the response of everyone was like, okay, couldn't really understand you, but this was hilarious. You should definitely come in and see us when you're in the city. And so we kind of tripled our response rate and then conversion rate off the back of that.
Wow, okay.
So getting into meetings was enough for us. Yeah, like we had a good product, good offering. The problem we were trying to solve was essentially the fact that we were very good at face-to-face selling, but being on the other side of the world and online, that really got eroded in kind of like written messages. So by getting us back to the forefront, we were able to get more meetings. And then, you know, long story short, one of those agencies asked to use the product. They started using it. Some of their clients asked to use it. Some of their clients asked to use it. And before we knew it, that outgrew the original company that we built it for.
Wow. Okay. So you built it as an internal tool.
Yeah, exactly.
Interesting. Okay. And then you were having so much success and people noticed that. They're like, hey, can I use it? And you basically morphed into like a SaaS platform.
That was it. Yeah. We just kind of, I mean, so we had tech. So we actually did have a tech team. So we had an agency like with technology around a product.
Yeah.
So we weren't kind of fresh off the boat. We understood video pretty well. We'd been doing it for a few years in the agency. So I'm not saying we kind of went from nothing, but I think we saw the opportunity. It grew. Look, it was unexpected. We just kind of ran with it.
Well, I mean, there's lots of people that purposely build software companies. They don't do great. So it sounds like you found a need that you had, and that you weren't the only one. So that's awesome.
Needs not wants. That's the, that's it. And the best way to need is to fix your own. And then if there's people like you, hey, There you go.
Was this your first software venture, like building your own digital product?
Now we fail. I've got a couple of failures.
Okay.
A few skeletons in the closet, a few founder breakups, you know, all that jazz.
Oh, funding, yeah.
And then died. So again, yeah, it's the whole idea.
Died or the product died?
Product died, okay. Founder ran out.
You like, know. Died. Okay, that's never good. So what did you learn from those failures? Like was it something about, they were obviously all kind of different circumstance, but did that help you with this venture and make it successful?
Yeah, look, absolutely. Look, it's a learning process. I think, I wouldn't say I learned tenacity, but like you have to keep going.
Mm-hmm.
I think as you have failures or as you have other successes, like you learn a lot, like getting products out quicker. You know, like there's a lot of BS in the industry and you learn just to kind of skip around that, who to work with, who to believe, who not to believe. Like ultimately customers are all that matters, I think, these days. How to build product that actually people use. So again, tracking, you know, how active are you, your users on what parts of the product, and expanding those parts and researching more users and not making assumptions, which when you first start off, you're like, this is a great idea, everyone will love this. And people are like, yeah, it's a great idea, and then no one buys it.
Right. Been there, I've done that.
Yeah. Sorry.
So the process itself of building versus acquiring customers, which one do you find more challenging, or have they both been pretty smooth?
Look, we've been lucky. So our initial acquisition was all kind of viral. So we have a messaging product. So videos get sent out. People see those, they go look into it and then come into us. And we had some big pickups in the early days. So when we first went, somehow we ended up in companies like, I think, Basecamp and ConvertKit and Mozilla. And so we kind of got taken there. And then we ended up with a few influencers like Pat Flynn and stuff coming on board. And that really helped build that kind of seed. And then from there, now kind of 3 years in, we have basically our three channels that we get in market, which is still that viral side. We do a lot of stuff with influencers, not paid influencers away in that. We just happen to have a lot of customers who are like, this is a great thing. Oh, come, wow. Come and speak on stage or whatever. Yeah. Cause I think the whole ethos of, you know, spending more time with customers, there's a bit of a shift in the market anyway. But you know, like we do, like automation is super important, but there's also parts you need to work at in amongst that when you spend time with customers. And then and our third area is we do content. So we kind of do big white papers, long form content. We did like a whole video funnel playbook, which our customers basically wrote for us as well. So it's, yeah, like you learn as you go that, you know, like you test every channel. I think we tested like 13 channels and 10 of those didn't work. Three are working really well. As we go through, as we grow, maybe there'll be another channel we come across, but we kind of focus down and just said, look, these three things will do really well. They do work for now at this stage of the business. So not that was easy, but if you test methodically, you'll get your answer.
Is your background more sales and marketing, or is it engineering, or?
I'm industrial design, so.
Industrial design, okay. So yeah, would you say that you're very process oriented? Because what you just described is, for people that just to level set is, you know, I think the big challenge that I see out there and I experience it is, well, how much outbound versus inbound versus what's my marketing mix to get actual results? And what you said was we tested 13 different ways to get new business, right?
Yeah.
Generate leads, essentially. And then you narrowed it down to three. So is that kind of how you approach most problems, or how did you know that that was the way to figure it out?
Yeah, I mean, that's how I approach problem solving. So everything we do, to be fair, like we're not perfect at this. Like I'm trying to get us better is, like if you test, I mean, this is the whole kind of creative process, to be honest. Yeah, and design, when you design, the way that, to be a good designer, you know, you're doing a medical product and you're looking at automotive and going, what can I use from that here? So you're doing this whole cross-pollination of ideas, but you have to methodically go through what other industries do this stuff, how can we solve it? So the same in building a business, building operations, building marketing, building products, test through things as quickly as you can, start to understand what are, I guess, success points. Because when you test, you're not going to suddenly get like a million users, but you know, but you'll get indications of what makes sense. So then you go to the next level. So maybe you do 13, you test, you get six that, you know, have legs, you run those for 3 months, you find out three of them like have ROI. In products, the same, if you're building product, you know, the same thing. Test out things quickly with users, you'll see take up in some areas, not on other areas, drop those features, work on the ones that stay, do closed betas. Yeah, the process is super important. And I can't tell any company how to do outbound or inbound or their mix. Like, I'm like, I don't know. You need to test it. And what I think is correct, my assumptions might be completely wrong. Because you know, with us, the way we thought we get customers is not how we get customers.
Yeah, it's interesting because it's funny. Like, I think that I probably have a bias towards certain types of marketing. Like, to me, Vudu or SEO has been kind of Vudu always. But then I hear people and they have success because they're doing organic content all the time, right? So they're doing something right. And it sounds like you're in a similar boat. And then the influencer marketing is something that I've never applied to my business, but it obviously has worked very well for you. So I would not have thought that was how you, and is that an affiliate program as well? Or how is it just like happy customers?
No. So we run an affiliate program.
Okay.
This was specifically on advice from Khan Nathan at ConvertKit, who's done really successfully. And there's loads of models out there. We were just told do 30% recurring ad infinitum. So keep your affiliates really happy, treat them well. I think one thing we've learned, if you do affiliates, and again, like, so our affiliates, it's almost like a thank you rather than it's not such a paid thing. People are like, I'm doing this anyway, and we're like, well, have an affiliate.
Here's some money.
Yeah, thanks. Yeah, treat your affiliates like customers. Like there's a funnel for them, and you need to convert, activate, and retain them. I think at the beginning we were like, oh, people are coming in, that's enough. They are no different from a normal customer, that they need love and they need support as well. And that's one of the lessons we've actually had to really go through to make that work.
That's awesome. And again, that's something that I have never personally, I mean, I've done channel partnerships, but what was your learning curve on building an affiliate program? Did you hire a person that was experienced in that, or did you just kind of hack your way through and figure it out?
Just hacked out it. We'll never hire someone for something unless it becomes a major part of operations. And then we need, we hire people when we need them.
Okay.
That's kind of our attitude to growth. So funny, we didn't know if it would work, you know, and look, you can run it quite lean. Again, process. So once you have the process in place, it's much, much easier.
Right.
Our learning curve was like, what the F is that? Is that process? I didn't know.
That makes sense. And then when you say we, like, how big is your organization? Do you have co-founders or?
A single founder, but we have 15 people now in five continents, which is awesome. Which is fun.
Yeah. Time zones.
Challenging. Yeah. Time zones.
And what's the breakup on that? Are they mostly product people? Is there a mix between roles? Or
we're more non-product now than product, I'd say. So customer success, marketing. So we don't do outbound sales.
Okay.
To be honest, it's not a channel that's worked for us at the moment. And as our product develops and we're getting bigger teams, I'm sure will become a thing. We're not going to leave it, but right now we've got our inbound machine kind of working and we're working on that. So yeah, inbound customer success is really important for us. So retaining customers, really important. And then products obviously is the other part to that.
Wow, that's awesome. I mean, those are, you know, first of all, it sounds like, and you're growing right now. Your goal for the company is, this is all you're doing, right? You don't have the agency business anymore, or do you still operate both?
I mean, like, without getting into too much detail, we kind of dropped it. And then the year we dropped it, it did its best year ever of revenue.
Oh my God.
And we're like, awesome. God damn it.
Yep,
so happens.
I was in the way. Sometimes
everyone's like, do right like, what do you do? Yeah. Like we're actually looking for someone to hire to like run that company separately. Okay. Cause we're like, look, there's actually a thing here. It's a good business, but we've all decided to put our lot in with the other company. Cause again, I think single focus is important. So if we do this and let it go again, we're not the people to run it because of focus, I think.
Interesting. Okay, cool.
Unsolved.
So if you're out there and you want to run an agency business in Sydney.
It's mostly UK. It's mostly London these days. So.
Oh, it's in London. Oh, that might be.
I'm not sure you want to move there anymore. After last week.
I'm Irish and a Canadian and American. I'm good.
Yeah,
the Brexit thing is done, right?
Well, the decision is done.
Now the process, right?
is there a process? Who knows?
No, who knows? We're gonna find out. I'm sure there's a lot of stuff to undo. They've been pretty intertwined in the EU. So that'll be interesting. Listen, I want to be conscious of your time. Is there anything we haven't touched on that you think would be important? Any advice for nascent startup founders in a similar space?
Look, I think, I mean, like one of the usual things, obviously get stuff out earlier, try and get a dollar before you've built something. I think like I push it earlier than you think. It is important. You will learn a lot more from customers and potential customers. We have one thing that I guess is kind of core to how we build stuff. And we always say automate processes, but never relationships. And so what I mean there is automate the stuff that you should not be doing, that you don't need to do, that doesn't need a human. Like that stuff needs to be automated. What that should allow you to do is to put the human bit into the bits that need you. So if you have your first 10 customers, do everything you can for them. If you have your first 100 customers, do everything you can for them. Your first affiliates, do everything you can for them. Your first partners, invest in those relationships, because that's the stuff that will make people stick around. And that stuff you can almost guarantee to keep. Everything else, yeah, get some process happening.
Oh, I love it. And what are some of the tools that you use, by the way? I know obviously you're using Bonjoro. What are you using? Marketing automation? Are you using CRM? Any case management?
Yeah, so we use Intercom.
Intercom, yeah.
Intercom. We use Notion quite recently.
Oh, I'm not sure.
Yeah, mostly our marketing team's kind of fall in love with it. Product wise, we now use Jira a lot to plan sprints and stuff. So we were very anti sprint being a startup, and now we're very, very pro sprint.
Really? That's interesting. Yeah, sprints are interesting, I guess. It's a philosophy where it's like, if you don't, I always kind of worry about that, because it's like you don't have a lockdown spec, you can go off and spend a ton of money, right? On iteration.
Yeah, and so we've tried to like never ending deadlines. We've tried to cap that down, but as a part of it, we've also reduced scope of what we pushed and what product we pushed. So at the beginning, we pushed very light products, and then as you get bigger, you start to push heavier products. And now we're back to pushing light products again. We're like, get it out. Doesn't matter if it's shitty. People will tell us if it's they'll tell us. We'll watch and we'll see if people use it. If they use it and they complain about it, that's fine, as long as they're using it, and then we'll build it better.
Oh, interesting. Okay, that makes sense. Get it out, get feedback, and then tweak it from there. And that's kind of your iterative model.
Yeah, if people use something that's kind of shit, if people use something that's kind of shitty, then you know if you build it better, then they'll still use it. Like, which is a great attitude to have to launching, to testing, to like, you know, if it works and looks like this, it's the final version, like, really should work for sure.
So what's next for Bonjoro? Like, what are you guys, you just trying to grow? Or are you looking to raise money or partnership?
Just growing right now. Like, we're doing more partnerships with that kind of, like, with integration. So the companies that we kind of work with and integrate with. A lot of stuff around data. So just really trying to work out when you should be doing things like these messages. Like, I wouldn't even say that we're a video company. Everyone else in the space is like, we're video. We're like, we're not video. We're relationships, really. A video happens to be a good medium for some of that, but there's other mediums that are useful too. So it's more of when is the right time to spend 30 seconds on a customer? When is the right time to spend 10 minutes on a customer? That's what we try to help people understand.
What's the best way for people to get in touch with you?
So either hunt me down on LinkedIn. If you search Bonjoro or Papa Bear, you'll see a guy in a bear suit. That's me.
You're in a bear suit.
It's the bat. We're a bit weird.
I'll have to check that out now.
If you want to check out Bonjoro, if you do sign up, you will of course receive a welcome video from one of the team. If it's early in the morning in Australia, it could be me. In which case, reply, and that's my inbox, and I'll get back to you.
So we'll include a link in the show notes to Bonjoro.com. Is there any offers that you want to provide people? Or
so we have something we just launched called a video funnel playbook that literally talks around the process behind this, which I think, like, given the audience, will be quite applicable. So I'll send that over to you as well. It's great. Kind of on like a hidden page, but it's process behind this, behind the relationships. It's kind of the key.
Oh, that's amazing. That's terrific. Okay. I'm going to wrap up with two final things. One is, how are you, Matt, changing the world?
Automating processes, but never relationships.
I love it. That's a great tagline. That's almost as good as automate and grow. It's actually probably the same concept.
That's it. Yeah, exactly.
One final thing is, when we have interesting guests on the podcast, we like you to nominate other interesting guests. So we'd like to know, we usually typically talk to experts or entrepreneurs. So who would you like to nominate as a future guest of Automate and Grow that you can introduce us to?
I have a couple of people. There's one amazing company here, and they are Australia-based only, but they're like Australia's fastest growing bank.
A kids bank
called Spriggy, and I will see if I can get them over to you. But they are quite different. They're B2C, but they basically come in and destroy the market here.
That's it. So like, it's called Spriggy, and it's a bank targeted at kids?
Yeah, so it's kids' prepaid cards. It's been done in the States and in the UK, not here. They're growing like 100%.
Okay, that's exciting. And who would you like to nominate there? Do you have a contact?
There's a guy called Alex Badrin. I will need to see. I'll be honest. Like, caveat is, I'm not sure if they're doing the podcast thing right now. I know they're on a big product push, but
hey, we can try.
If they are, like they are hilarious as well.
That sounds like an excellent introduction. We will accept that nomination. So Alex, you've been nominated to be a future guest of the Automate and Grow podcast. Matt, I really appreciate your time, and we will definitely check out Bonjoro. So if there's anything else we haven't touched on, let me know now.
You've touched me everywhere.
Touched, I hope. My hands have been here the whole time. Matt, I appreciate your time. This has been another episode of the Automate and Grow podcast. We will see you on a future episode of Automate and Grow.